We all think about time, but probably not as deeply as the groundbreaking theoretical physicist Lee Smolin. He's created a radical new view of the nature of time and the cosmos, which he lays out in a new book called Time Reborn, From the Crisis in Physics to the Future of the Universe. Steve Paulson wanted to know more.
Now, my understanding, since Einstein, we've had this concept of space-time. They go together, the idea that time and space are inextricably linked to each other. Is that a mistake?
I don't think it's a mistake at all. The notion of space-time captures a deep truth about the world, which is that the notion of, well, let me just say it, this will be familiar to some of our listeners and maybe a shock to others of our listeners, but the idea that we can say what events are happening simultaneous to now, simultaneous to this moment at some location far away is not so obvious. And Einstein pointed out that if you give me a procedure to tell which events far away are simultaneous with the present events, that procedure will depend on my motion. And that's a deep truth, and that has a great deal of experimental evidence by now in favor of it. But that doesn't prevent it from being true or possible that there's a deeper notion of time which underlies the universe in which there is a fundamental and global notion of time which it comes prior to the notion of time in Einstein's space-time. See, there can be different levels of description at which different regularities are true, in which we can assume different laws approximately hold. And the importance of special and general relativity doesn't mean that it might not be someday superseded for a deeper understanding of time.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is the common assumption that there was no time before the Big Bang, 13.8 billion years ago. I mean, there was nothing before then. Do we need to rethink that everything started with the Big Bang?
I think we do. And this is not a new idea. The idea that the Big Bang is the first moment of time is a consequence of Einstein's theory of general relativity in isolation from the other laws. But it's been understood for a great deal of time, since at least the early 1960s, that when one tries to combine general relativity with quantum phenomenon, one has not a first moment of time, but a transition from an earlier era. So the idea that there is time before the Big Bang has been with us really, with us theoretically, since the early 1960s. Now, that doesn't mean that the idea is demonstrated scientifically. It means that we theorists are comfortable with the idea that there was an era of the universe before the Big Bang and that the Big Bang was a magnificent event, a transition from a previous era, but not the beginning.
So where would the Big Bang have come from? I mean, because my understanding of the sort of the models of the Big Bang is it sort of kind of exploded out of nothing, it would seem.
Yes, and out of nothing can't be a scientific idea, because what do you mean? How can something come out of nothing? So there are two hypotheses as to what preceded the Big Bang, both of which have been studied quite a bit. One hypothesis is that there was a black hole in another universe and that the star that collapsed to form that black hole would, again, according to Einstein's classical theory of relativity, have compressed and compressed and compressed and very quickly reached a state of infinite density where time stops, so a kind of end state. And the idea, again, has been around for a long time that that's not really an end state, but it prepares the way for a transition where quantum effects create a new universe, which then becomes the new Big Bang. So that's the idea that the history of our universe is the prior history is the collapse of a star to a black hole in another universe. So that's one idea which has been developed. Another idea is that the universe as a whole might come to an end state. The universe as a whole might collapse. And the Big Bang comes as a kind of bounce, we say, if you can see the metaphor of, you know, bouncing a ball. The universe might collapse and then bounce and then expand again. And that's an idea which also has been well explored. So we have two hypotheses in front of us. And the interesting thing is whether they make different predictions for what the early universe looks like, which can be differentiated by experiment or observation.
Well, it also sounds like you're suggesting that there is no original start date for everything. I mean, you sort of, you keep going back forever.
Steve, that's too hard. It's one thing to push time back before the Big Bang, but I'm a scientist. I'm not a philosopher. I don't have to answer an ultimate question like, was there an ultimate first moment of time? That's really, that's like one of these questions like consciousness or why does the world exist at all rather than nothing, which at least the present time is too hard for us scientists.
You write about how it is important to think in time. What does that mean?
Well, I try to convey in the book the change in my own sense of myself and my situation in life as I went through this transition of believing that time is really real and time is really fundamental. Because you see, Steve, this was a transition I went through myself over many years, starting with the conventional point of view among my colleagues that time is an illusion. I slowly worked my way to the opposite point of view. And this affected my own life. It affected my experience of being a parent. It affected my experience of being a person in society. It affected my experience of being an adult growing older. And I wanted to convey this because this had such a profound effect on me. So I invented a kind of contrast between thinking outside of time and thinking in time and living outside of time and living in time. And we live and think outside of time when we have the fantasy that the real truths that matter exist timelessly outside of time, that we can at best rediscover or re-inherit truths which are eternal. When we think that the solutions to all the problems that we face as people or the possible political frameworks or political points of view all exist in some sense timelessly, then we look outside of time for the solutions of our problems, personal and societal. On the other hand, we live in time when we reject that as some mystical fantasy and believe that the future is open and subject to our creation at least a little bit.
Well, one of the ideas that that you often hear from physicists and well-known physicists is that according to the laws of physics, time should be able to move backwards as well as forwards. I mean, this is the reason that many physicists say that time travel into the past is theoretically possible. It sounds like that does not fit into your framework.
Well, not really. And if time travel into the past was possible, then where are they? Where are our future friends and colleagues who have traveled into the past to save us from our foolishnesses or just to entertain themselves? Where are they? That's a much worse question than the question about the aliens. How come they're not here? But yes, one of the funny things about fundamental physics is how some of the conclusions that we're led to clash with everyday expectations, and we have to work hard to disabuse ourselves of those everyday expectations. Now, sometimes that's right. For example, the air appears to be smooth. The metal of this piece of table I'm sitting in front of appears to be smooth, but that's really an illusion that's really made of atoms. So sometimes it's right that everyday experience is an illusion, but sometimes it's wrong, and this is a case where I think it's correct. So just to come back to the issue you raised, almost everything that we experience in ordinary life about time is not reversible. When we spill milk, when we get up in the morning, when we have a child, a first kiss, an unkind word said to a friend, almost everything we experience is irreversible. But the laws of nature, as we have understood them from Newton to Einstein to quantum theory, appear to be reversible. That is, if you've made a movie of what the atoms are actually doing in all the circumstances of life on a fundamental scale, on an atomic scale, and ran that movie backwards, that would not contradict the laws of nature. And that raises a profound question. Why is everyday experience, everyday phenomenon, why is that so irreversible? So much has a one direction to it if the fundamental laws are reversible. And cosmologists and physicists have to go into all kinds of convolutions about how improbable the beginning state of the universe was to try to explain that. I think it's much easier just to say that fundamentally time must be irreversible and the apparent reversibility of the laws on the atomic scale.
Lee Smolin is a theoretical physicist and the author of Time Reborn, From the Crisis in Physics to the Future of the Universe. He talked with Steve Paulson.